my name is Canon Simon Besant, and that's where the problem comes from. The word canon gets me a lot of problems. People say, what does canon mean? Why aren't you reverend? When I say canon, it's a bit like an OBE for vicars. And they say, how did you get it? And I say, well, the truth is, I spent 9 years sucking up to my bishop to get it. Hard work, but I got it eventually, like an OBE, if you like. So, but you see, people say, well, you know, if you're Canon Simon, what do we call you? And I say, well, I'm an ever so humble man. I don't need to worry about things. You can just call me Your Wonderfulness. The folk who know me, don't take any notice of that. My wife's over there, she completely ignores that. But you see, the problem is, you know, vicars can get big heads, can't they?
Yes.
Thank you. That's the other woman in my life. It's just hard work, I tell you. What I have to work with, my goodness me. Anyway, it's a real problem because sometimes we get, you know, we think we're doing well, and sometimes we think we're really doing badly, and you know, you get the ups and downs. And who's important in the church? Well, at times I think I've been important, at times I think I haven't been. I want to tell you this morning two stories. The first one, they're both true. The first one is about the day I had an audience with the Pope.
Ooh.
Thank you. It's true. I had an audience with the Pope. I was invited to go. I was working in Lancashire at that time. I was a floating vicar over there. I worked for the bishop, and I had an invite with three others to go and meet the Pope in Rome, in the Vatican. So we all went over, we flew over, and we had there for a couple of days for conversations, and we were invited to the audience with the Pope. It sounds grand. I'd love to tell you all about it, but that's a story for another day. But I have to tell you, it wasn't quite the sort of audience of the Pope which, you know, Barack Obama or David Cameron got. It wasn't the two of us sitting around with a cup of tea and His Holiness. There were one or two others, about 3,000 actually. Anyway, it's a big, big event. And at the, if you can imagine it, I was like sitting on the road down there, and the Pope was up here, and at the end of it, as the Pope came down, instead of coming over here to shake my hand, he went over there. He made a terrible, terrible mistake. I understand he was totally gutted not to meet me. So I thought, well, you know, that I missed the opportunity, but as I was walking out of there, I was dressed very formally in black, you know, very severe, looking dapper best as I could. And I happened to see a Swiss guard. Do you know what the Swiss guards are? Anyone known to be to the Vatican? They are Swiss soldiers. It goes back to the Treaty of Versailles, 1850, but we'll ignore that for a moment. They are Swiss active soldiers who are the Pope's bodyguard, and they actually carry heavy machinery underneath, but they're wearing this medieval sort of weird outfit with about three different colour stripes. It looks a bit, you know, it's a bit over the top, almost a bit pantomimish, but very ancient with these special caps on. And there was this big, strapping Swiss guard I was walking up towards, and suddenly, to my amazement, he clicks his heels together like this, and he salutes me. I look behind. Me? So I said, thank you very much, and I walked past, and I thought, yes, that's what I'm going to tell my grandchildren. Because for a moment I thought, well, if a Swiss guard can salute me like that, well, maybe I've got a bit of importance. I had, after all, polished my shoes that day, so hopefully that was the right thing. So for a moment I thought, maybe I was a bit important. Then, just a few months later, there was a very big service in Blackburn Cathedral. Now, I'm not a canon of Blackburn Cathedral as such, but I'm one of the sort of people on the side, and I was working there a bit. And I was invited to be part of this big church event. And it was the cathedral was absolutely full, thousands of people in there, and there was a big procession, and there was the bishop, and I think there was an archbishop, and there was a Lord Lieutenant of the county. It was a big affair. Anyway, I was told I was going to be halfway up the procession, because I had a seat, because I was moderately important. So I had a seat, it was just quite close to where the bishop was, so that was going to be okay. So I was told exactly where I need to be in the procession. So the service starts, the organs play, it's a big event, and I'm walking, and when you're wearing this sort of gear, you learn to glide, you see, like this. You have to vary your head like this and do it properly. I guess get up to around about here, if you like, coming along to here, about to this point here, and suddenly, from two sides, from outside of two pillars, I hadn't seen them at all, out walked two military trumpeters. Bright scarlet tunics, the full works. They pick up their trumpets like this, and they blow a big fanfare. And I was thinking, thanks, guys. But it wasn't for me, of course, it was for the bishop at the back, I think, actually. But for a moment I thought, you know, that was okay. That seemed to be a good thing for me. Thank you very much. So I was doing quite well. Then eventually I glide up to the front to find my seat. And someone else is sitting in it. And what can you do? You can't start arguing in front of all those people. So as soon as it is down, I stand there and try to look as unobtrusive as possible. And then one by one, all these important people, the archdeacons, the bishop, the archbishop, the Lord Lieutenant, they're all walking up. And one by one, they look at me, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, best of you, Levin, what are you doing there? And it was utterly, well, it was embarrassing. And to be, eventually, I saw that further around the back, there was an old plastic chair hidden behind one of the pillars. And I just walked over there, and I felt utterly, utterly humiliated. Who's important in the church? Well, quite clearly not this vicar, canon or not. But it does raise an interesting question. Who is important? And that's what our Bible reading was all about. It was all about Jesus and his disciples, his followers, trying to work out who's important. Let me just tell you the story about Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was a carpenter, got to the age of about 30, and he felt called to do something different with his life. And he started walking around the villages and towns of Galilee and northern Israel. This was a time when Israel was under Roman occupation. That was the superpower of the day. They were under the boot of the Roman soldiers. And it was a tough time. Economics was tough. Family life was difficult. It was a hard place to live. And many people were hoping in Israel at this time, at some point, there would be a Messiah who would lead them into a new world of opportunity and freedom. And then this Jesus starts appearing around Galilee and is preaching and is healing. But when he preaches, it's not like the boring vicars of the time. When he spoke, people listened and said, yeah, that makes sense. When he spoke, it was different. Inside, something said, this rings true. And he healed people. He cast out evil from people. And in so many ways, people were caught up by this guy. He had a chemistry. There was an electricity. And people came out in their droves to listen to him. And not only the ordinary people, but some of the posh people from the city, the capital city, Jerusalem, some of the religious leaders, they didn't really like him. But mostly it was the ordinary, the common people. They came out in large numbers to see this Jesus. Was he the Messiah? Was he the one who was going to show God's love for the nation and transform people's lives? And when someone that important became a big celebrity in the place, what happened was that some women and some dads started bringing their babies along saying, you know, could Jesus bless my baby? And the problem was, Jesus had his sidekicks called the disciples. They were his entourage. They were his team, if you like. And they had a real problem with it. So what would happen was, a mum would come along and say, excuse me, love, can Jesus bless my baby? And the disciple would say, and what's your name? And who are you? And where are you from? I guess an ordinary person, but can Jesus bless my baby? Oh, I'm terribly sorry. He's far too busy. His messiahship's got things to do like healing and teaching and saving the world. He can't be bothered about one of your little sprogs, madam. Come back tomorrow, perhaps. And you know, at that point, Jesus found out what was going on. You know, people often think about Jesus being a sort of a bit like, you know, a bit like this, all meditative and quiet. And when he found out, no, not like that at all. He was angry. He was furious. And he had a go at his disciples, his team, and said, you got it all wrong. Completely wrong. You can't stop the kids coming to me because they are the most important people of all. They are the ones who are the important place in this. And he said to his disciples, you got it wrong. Unless you come like a child with a child's faith and a child's openness, you can't see what God's doing in this situation. You can't really work out who I am. And in fact, the children are the most important people of all. And he emphasized that time and time again. Jesus said, it's the ordinary people, and it's especially the children, who are the most important people. And folks, that's why we're here today. The most important person here today isn't me, and it's certainly not her. I'll tell you who it is. It's James and Frankie, because we come here for our Thanksgiving service. And we want to say to them, we want to bring them to a Thanksgiving service and says, let Jesus through our hands bless these children. This is a wonderful opportunity to come into this church and say, these children, they're born, they're growing up now bit by bit. And we wanted to offer them to God and say, God, will you bless these children? Will you help them to see all that Jesus talked about? Let us in this church be the hands of Jesus and give them a blessing, because those children are the most important people of all. But of course, remember something. All those children 2,000 years ago, Jesus did bless. They grew up to be adults too. And in another sense in which, yes, the children are so important, but actually before God's eyes, everybody in this church this morning, and I say everybody, I mean everybody, whatever your situation, whatever your past, whatever goes on in your life, everybody is loved by God. And he wants everybody here to discover that love afresh for themselves. We're going to be coming in a moment to a Thanksgiving service. And we thank God for the amazing children. But also remember that God looks at your life. And whatever difficulties or mess you may live with, that love is there for you as it is for these children. And today the most important people, yes, the children, but in another sense, it's everybody here as well.